Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So retailers had a terrible, terrible December. The holiday season was about as bad as it gets, but they're likely to look at the good old days, look at these last few months as the good old days compared with what is to come. New York Times reporter Stephanie Rosenblum joins us to talk about the retail numbers that came out yesterday and some of the disturbing trends if you get deeply into some of those numbers. Stephanie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, John.
You know, a couple of things that I noticed, and I'm not an expert on this, so tell me if I should just sort of move on and not bother with this. I was really surprised by Walmart's results. They appeared to miss an estimate, and I was under the assumption, and folks like you were saying, that the discounters were really going to benefit in this environment as people pulled out of traditional retailers. How significant is that?
Well, let's keep in mind, to put the good news first, they did have positive sales figures. That is incredibly rare right now. I mean, there are less than, you know, half a dozen retailers who managed to pull that off. So they still had positive sales of 1.7%. That said, Walmart doesn't usually miss estimates, and they did. That surprised a lot of analysts, number one. Number two, you're talking about a retailer that's a bellwether for the industry. So for them to show any kind of weakness obviously makes everybody else a little bit nervous. And as you rightly point out, because they are a discounter, they were expected to do better, and they did. And even the discounters, like even Target and Costco, which had declines, were down about 4%. When you're saying that most of the industry is down in double digits, being down by 4% isn't quite so bad, but it absolutely surprised a lot of people. And, you know, they talked about some issues that other retailers talked about. They pointed out the weather, which, you know, I mean, it only affected 40 of their stores, and they have a lot more than, you know, they have thousands of stores. So, but there, it absolutely had to do with consumer spending. And one of the areas at Walmart, general merchandise, usually does well over the holiday season. And that was where they felt some pain, and their food did well. That helped them, but they're getting hurt in areas, you know, home, furnishings, that sort of thing.
But the food is another recessionary indicator in the sense that, you know, like last year, people were using their gift cards to buy food.
That's
which
right.
was an indication that people were really, really worried and strapped for cash. You know, it seems as though sociologically, though, this number does suggest that a large segment of the economy is not doing what we would expect, and that is sort of incrementally dialing down their spending. They're not pass and go. They're not going directly to Walmart. They're just going directly to sitting on their hands and not buying anything.
That's right. The savings rate has jumped more quickly than a lot of analysts thought it was going to jump. You know, it was in negative territory, and I think it's up, it's above 2% and maybe 2.8. So that's very fast, and people are nervous. The things that anyone's buying now are necessities, and, you know, part of the, during the holiday season, people felt compelled to buy presents, so that was good for retailers. They got people through the doors. They had amazing discounts. So that helped them. But by and large, people are not, there's no discretionary spending happening.
Right. And the discounts hurt profits. So that will, you know, be reflected in stocks going forward. All right. Let's talk about the, you know, the headline for early 09. And that's going to be some of the bankruptcies. Let me give you a list of some retailers and you can tell me how healthy you think they are.
You're getting into dangerous territory, John.
All right. Well,
I won't predict bankruptcy.
All right. Let's just talk categories. Is a Macy's in a different situation, which is a national retailer, than say a Dillard's, which is a regional retailer?
Sure. I mean, look, when you're number one, Macy's is an enormous, you know, it's huge, and so many vendors depend upon them. Banks have to. They don't have to, but there is a lot of good reason for them to cooperate, to help them revise their credit agreements, you know, to work with them, basically. They're so big and so much depends upon their success. Regional department stores, I've heard analysts say this, they will have a tremendously difficult time. I mean, we could even get to a point where, you know, a number of those close and we're talking only about big national chains. It's very difficult for a smaller guy to compete on, you know, to compete with these kind of price marks. You know, the profit margins that they're operating under.
You know, I loved how scared you were that I started to mention these names.
Did you see how scared I was?
It made me feel like a New York Times editor or something quizzing one of his reporters. So how's the business model for, say, a Guitar Center or a Bed Bath & Beyond in this environment, something that's very specialized?
Right. Well, and they can do very well. I'll give you an example. Some specialty niche retailers manage to do really well. So you have something, for instance, like Hot Topic, right, which is not a huge store by any means. They're a mall retailer. They did really well because they got licenses for the movie Twilight, which is this teenage vampire romance film. It sold like gangbusters. So this is the thing when people talk about retail is partly a science, partly magic, and so they kind of found the magic there. You know, obviously they studied and figured out, you know, what might work for their customers, but they found a compelling product. So the thing is, can you operate in a space where you're operating better than everyone else? You're operating, you know, the money is not a lot. It doesn't cost a lot to buy the product. And it's something special. That's the thing a lot of analysts have been talking about, is that if you're just selling, you know, comforters, and your comforter is really inexpensive, nobody feels a need to just go buy a new comforter for, you know, right now. I mean, people are just, as you said, sitting on their hands. So how do you do that?
Well, finding the magic in this environment is definitely a challenge for retailers. Stephanie, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, John.
Stephanie Rosenblum is a reporter for the New York Times, talking about the retail sales numbers and the interesting trends in the economy that come from those numbers, particularly that the discounters aren't doing as well as was expected.